we're growing as we lay before God with an honest heart and a willingness to yield to His Spirit and obey His Word. God changes us. As we look to Jesus, we're changed, we're transformed from glory to glory. Hypocrisy is one acting like a Christian, right? Acting. But the truth is that God changes the heart. And all of us have areas that God is working in, obviously. We're not perfect. And so there's times when we are probably, well, yes, we're hypocrites at times. Has anybody ever been a hypocrite at least once in their time, in their life? Okay, all right, good. So we're in good company tonight. But it's not like we're intentional about it. Often it's because we live in fear. You know, man by himself is in fear. Apart from the love of God. The love of God gives us this beautiful, I don't know, how do you say it? This peace that passes all understanding. There's a comfort that comes with the love of God. And it lifts you up into a higher realm where you're not afraid anymore. But when we're fearful, and even fearful sometimes of the opinions of others, even of other Christians, then we can get into the mode of acting because we're afraid we'll be judged if we don't appear to be a certain way that people expect us to be. Always walking around with some silly smile on our face that's plastic, you know. And you know what? We don't have to have a plastic smile because Jesus will give you a real smile. Amen? Authenticity comes from God. So we want to walk in the authentic. We don't want to fake it. We don't want to act it. We want to be it. As we can be it as we abide in Him who is it. Who is our holiness. And so tonight, the title of this message is a question. And it is, what is holiness? Now, I've touched on this before, but I want to quote something from a man named Stuart Holden. And before we do, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to help me tonight, Lord. By the Holy Spirit, Lord, deliver, God, your word to me so I can hear and I can speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He said, holiness is not human life brought up to the highest possible development. In other words, not something that someone is achieving. It's not human life brought up to the highest possible development. But it is divine life brought down to the lowest possible level of condescension. First, the recipient of God's holiness must be brought down to the lowest level of contriteness or brokenness before the Lord. So it's not about us achieving or going higher by our own actions or works, but it's God reaching down to man. And He reaches to the low places. The river of God flows into the valleys, into the low places, into the hearts that are humbled before Him, often childlike as they approach their Father. Not in pride and in concern of what others even think. But a child doesn't care. And you know, a child will get up and dance, you know, and have a good time in the crowd. And most of the time, children aren't hung up about, did anybody look at me? Or what did they even think about what I just did? We have to come to Him. Jesus said, unless you become His children, you will not enter the kingdom. So we have to have a heart that is understanding, that is humbled before God, that is in a sense of contriteness, that is emptied of itself. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That really means as a beggar would come begging for bread. That's where that word means. And that type of poor, as a beggar, just coming and knowing that the only thing I can live on is what I receive. Not what I can do, but what I can receive. So unless we learn this lesson that we are receivers and everything is about receiving from God, then we will strive in our own strength and our own power and our own willpower to somehow achieve a thing called holiness that people sometimes will label you as you have to do this and that and this and that and this and that, and then you will be good enough or holy enough for God to love you. And the more that we try or attempt to reach a level or achieve holiness, the farther we fall away from the grace of God and the deeper in bondage we get. I want you to hear that. Because holiness is only found in Him who is holy. It's only in God where there's true holiness. He has become for us holiness. And this is the truth that will set you free from performance and earning and working and slaving away to try to hopefully do well enough to make it. The problem is that often we are trying to live for God independent of God. We're trying to live for God independent of God. 2 Corinthians 7:9, Paul said, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing." Verse 10, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation." Godly sorrow works repentance, leading to salvation. "Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Now, in verse 10 in the New Living Translation, it says, "For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation." So, God actually wants people at times to feel sorry. Has anybody gotten saved without first being sorry? You see, people are being offered salvation without even understanding that they have need of salvation, without really realizing the depths and the depravity of their own human condition and rebellion to God and how detestable sin really is in the eyes of God. But when the holiness of God appears, when the light of Christ begins to shine in one's heart, they become aware of their sinfulness and how repulsive it is in God's sight, and they come under what's called godly fear, and it produces a sorrow of heart that will make one want to run to God for cleansing and for mercy and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And only then, when you come to the place where you're in contriteness, when you're broken before God, God can pour His grace into your heart, into your life, and He can raise you up, hallelujah, in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And you walk in a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can experience a peace that was way beyond anything I ever knew. And this perfect love of God that casts out all fear. The kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. In other words, godly sorrow works repentance. Repentance means I turn to Christ. I turn to God. And when I turn to Christ, I'm turning away from myself as being the Savior of myself. When I turn to Christ, I'm turning my back on sin. And when God sees the sincerity of the heart, that one is repentant towards Him and they mean business, then God will work business in your life, you see. He'll begin to move in grace and mercy upon you. Hallelujah. Because you're experiencing the mercy of God. It's only due to the sacrifice of Jesus. It's only because of what Jesus did that we can be saved. It's not of us, it's of Him. So holiness is not something you can achieve, but it's something you receive. The word holy means to be sanctified or set apart. Spiritually pure or consecrated is another word for being set apart. Consecrated unto God. It is by God's grace, received by faith, that we're able to live a holy life in this world. It is by God's grace, received through faith that we're able to live a holy life in this world. Not by trying to live for God independent of God, but by worshiping God in spirit and truth. By embracing Him, by receiving Him, by welcoming Him. You see? Worship is adoration. People love sports. They love their favorite team. There's nothing wrong with liking sports, all right? But you should never love it more than you do God. And yet, we see worship expressed in sports all the time. People dress like, act like, talk like, you know, their team. They want to be like them. They idolize them. And so, you know, people will shout. They will clap. They will dance. They will paint themselves all kinds of colors. They will pull their shirts off and do all kinds of crazy stuff in worship of their team. Because man was created to worship, and everybody's going to worship something. And God says, you will have no other gods before me. And so most of the world is living in idolatry. There's nothing wrong with praising your team, okay? I've done it, been there, done it. What I'm saying is that God should be your number one praise. God should be your first and greatest aspiration. Your love to know Him should supersede everything else. Because there is nothing in this world that can compare to the glory of God. To the beauty of His holiness. To know Him is to know what it is to be holy. When we get a glimpse of Him, we begin to see how we pale in comparison. And it causes us to reach out and say, God, cleanse me. Have mercy. Wash me, God. I know that I'm a wretch. I know that I'm a man of unclean lips, as Isaiah said. He became aware of his sinfulness in the holiness of God, in the presence of God. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. In other words, you can't make it without His grace. You can't be holy apart from God's grace. You cannot overcome the world apart from His grace. You can't be an authentic, true, born-again Christian apart from His grace. You can just be a hypocrite, an actor, a player. And there are people that live in fear and they play this game and they don't want anybody to know that they don't really know if they're going to heaven or hell. Because they're afraid to come to church and say, you know what, I'm not really sure. Because they're too concerned about the opinions of what others may think rather than how they stand before God. I became aware when God turned the light on. I'm like, oh my God, help me. God, I'm a wretch. God began to show me my life. How I treated my family, my little daughter at the time, and how I was just so selfish and all I could think was it was their fault all the time, and I couldn't even see me. Until the Holy Spirit turned the light on, I began to see me. Oh, it was me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Standing in the need of grace. The Bible says that Jesus is returning. He's coming. Look around. Look at the signs. He spoke these signs. He said, when you see these things come to pass, know that my coming is near. Hallelujah. And He's coming, the Bible says, for a church that is holy. He's not coming for unholy people. He's coming for those who are holy. Hallelujah. And in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 25, where Paul was giving instructions to husbands, he said to love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. He says, in marriage you're seeing a type of Christ and His bride and His church. That Christ may sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God. We hear and the light comes on and we become aware of where we really are. Who we really are. And who He really is. And that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but that she, the church, should be holy and without blemish. Now Romans 13:11 says, do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. I mentioned it last Sunday, I believe it was, that we're living in the days of Noah, just like Jesus said. And the majority of people were totally unaware of what was really going on. They just thought this guy was nutty. The Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And God moved upon Noah, and he moved with godly fear to the preparing of the ark, to the saving of his family. The fear of God gripped him. He understood that something is coming. God told me to get ready so that we might escape the coming judgment of God upon the world of the ungodly. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. We're living in those days, I believe, again. And right now, many people are in blindness. The only source of information they get is from CNN and Fox News. And they think that they're forming their opinions on all sorts of different opinions, and the voices of so many that are speaking into their lives, and there's so much confusion today that people don't know which way is up. And the voice of God in many has been quenched and shut out, and people don't want to hear what God has to say, and so they're turning to alternatives. They're turning to this and to that to try to figure out what life is, but you're never going to find life until you come to Him who is life and the author of life. And you'll never be happy, you'll never be blessed until you ask Jesus, amen, to be your Lord and Savior. And that requires true repentance, folks. It says, the night is far spent, Romans 13:12. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Do this positive thing. Be clothed in him. Put on the Lord. Worship him. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. What is the flesh? The flesh is not your body. Amen. It's the sin nature. And of course, your body is influenced by that, and it's what's brought death upon all of us, and that's why our bodies are decaying. But we, in Christ, become a new creation, and that inward man is made beautiful and renewed day by day, as God is preparing those who abide in Him, in His holiness, so that they will be presented without spot or wrinkle, amen, without blemish, as a pure, holy virgin before Christ. That means He's coming for a church that is whole, wholesome, holy. And if we think that we can, in our own wisdom, in our own strength, in our own ability, make ourselves holy, the more that we try to go that direction, the farther we fall from grace. And the more bondage, the more deeply in bondage we get. And that's why a lot of people are in bondage, is because they have not even understood what real grace means. How many know that real grace produces holy living? You will have the power to live godly as you abide in Him who is God. Amen? In the New Living Translation, Romans 13:11 says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up! For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate, listen, in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. If you're not holy, you will not see the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. This is not my word, this is God's word. And I am going to trust what God says. I've trusted my thoughts, my opinions, and it always got me in trouble. But then he goes on to say in verse 11, and such were some of you. So that means not everybody's living this kind of life. Those who are holy don't live this kind of life. Those who abide in Christ don't live like that. Those who are holy in Him who's holy don't live like that. Because the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. But he says, you were washed. Hallelujah. You were sanctified, set apart, but you were justified in the name of the Lord. That means just as if your sin never happened. And by the Spirit of our God. Now, there's a difference between being cleansed and being holy. From being cleansed and being holy. Cleansing is an event, while holiness is a state of being. See, some people think, I went to the altar once, you know, and got cleansed, and I'm done. And that understood. That was the beginning. That was the right step in the right direction. But if there was no sorrow created by the Holy Spirit, no conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring one to a place where he becomes aware of his sinfulness and his need of cleansing, then he's going to go under false pretenses, or he's going to go because somebody jerked his emotions around and he ran down and made an emotional decision, but it wasn't one from the heart. It was just maybe because this guy made me feel bad. You see, sometimes you got to feel sorry before you can get better. But it has to be the sorrow that the Holy Spirit produces by the Word. And when we hear the Word is a cleanser. Amen? The Word causes us to see. It's a light. So we begin to see clearly. Ah, I once was in darkness until the light of Christ shone and the Word came to me. And I began to see that I am a sinner. That I am in need of grace. For what reason? So I can walk around with my head down and feel beat up and kicked around by the devil the rest of my life? No. So that I can run to the merciful Jesus, amen, and receive grace from Him so I can be forgiven, and then I'll receive the power of God to live for Him. See, some people have gotten to the stage where they come and they're doing the confession thing, which is good. It's a beginning. But you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled. Christ needs to possess you. You cannot live for God apart from God. Some people get cleansed, but they're never born again. I'm going to say it again. Some people get cleansed, but they're not born again. And unless a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have gone. Amen? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is a change that takes place when you're truly born again. It's not, I'm just patching up the old man. It's just doing away with the old man, and I'm walking in a new life. I've been dead with Christ, buried with Him, and risen to a new life with Him. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. Who lives for me as my intercessor in heaven. Hallelujah. Whose grace is sufficient for me. If I will come to Him, I can ask, Papa, please, I need grace, I need help. I need my daily bread today. I can't live without You. And he says, well, son, I have everything you need right here. All you had to do is ask. Why are you trying to live for me apart from me? Come on. We come to Jesus and say, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then we walk away trying to do it in our own strength. The same way one is born again is the same way you're also going to be kept. And that's by the grace of God, because you're a worshiper of God. That's why we're gluttons for Jesus here. We just love Jesus. We love His presence. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Because when I'm filled with You, life is good in the God zone. And the world may not get it. They may not understand. I don't care. I used to live for the world. I didn't get it either once. I used to think it strange. You see, what's actually normal as to the world is abnormal, because they're not living in normal. I once was not living in normal, so I was living abnormal, thinking that abnormal was normal. But now I'm in the normal one. And I'm beginning to learn what normal really is. And when I look at Jesus, I see normal. You cannot be holy without first being cleansed. You can, however, be cleansed without being holy. You see, if you don't get this, then it's going to be like a lot of people, they just do the cleansing thing. It is possible for people to get all excited, to hear the word, to get all excited about it, to maybe make the right step in the right direction, but never get actually their roots down to where they're firm in Christ in the foundation. And Jesus said there are those who are like the seed that fell on stony ground. And with joy they received the word and immediately sprung up, but had no root. And so they endured for a little while. And then when the difficulties came against their life, because they didn't have the roots, they quickly fell away. And so it's only on Christ, in Christ, that we have sure foundation, that we can stand and know that it's not of me. I dare not trust my own efforts. I dare not trust myself with my soul. I trust my soul to Him only. I don't even believe my own heart. I say, Jesus, I believe what You say about me. Because the devil wants to beat you up about your past. So you're not going to live in the now. I want you to hear this, folks. Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then He entered a certain village. There met Him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when He saw them, He said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. What did He do? He told them to do something. Take a step of obedience. Listen to what I tell you. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They would never have been cleansed unless they had done what? Obeyed the voice of Jesus. That's the first step. And then, listen, one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, what did he do? He returned with a loud voice, glorified God. Hallelujah! And fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. What was he doing? Worshiping the Lord. Giving thanks. Glorifying Him with a loud voice. Oh, you Christians are a bunch of nuts. You know what? He didn't care what anybody thought. Here's a man that was... He had leprosy, man, and he's healed. And he's like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. He was an outcast. He was a half-breed. Oh, but Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Folks, can I suggest to you that this is the same thing that's happening today so often? That people get cleansed, but they don't return to give God glory. They don't fall down at His feet. They don't commit themselves to God. They just get cleansed and they walk away and they forget that they were cleansed. And you know what happens when we forget? We end up getting right back in the hog pen again. Right back in the mud. And he said, there's this one man. He came back. He worshiped. But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now listen to what he said in verse 19. Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You see, he got more than a cleansing for his body. He got more than a healing miracle in his body. His soul was saved. His soul was healed by God. Because he returned to give glory to his God. He returned, amen, to worship him. He came back and he gave God thanks. How many know that this man was a changed man? Your faith has made you well. You see, the others didn't demonstrate faith in God. They just got what they wanted and that was the end of it. But this man, he realized, I got to come back to Jesus. Oh, this is too good. I can't miss this. As Frank says, this is too good. This is too good. We can't miss this. Or saved you in soul as well as body. Christ, being the object of faith, had saved him, for his salvation is ascribed to his faith. Come on now. Is there any faith in the house tonight? Are you going to be? Are you willing to be like the woman with the issue of blood? How many years was it? 12 years? She's bleeding to death and nobody could help her. And Jesus, I mean, she touched the hem of his garment. Jesus healed her. And she was willing to risk her life to crawl through the crowd. Because in that society she would have been considered unclean. And then touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was immediately made well. And the fountain was dried up, and she was happy. We've got to be like her. We've got to be like the ones who return to God with their whole heart and say, Lord, what can I do for you? Or wasn't it Zacchaeus who, after he had been forgiven, he was a swindler, you know? He was a snake. He was cheating people on their taxes. And Jesus saw him up in the tree. He wanted to see Jesus. He knew something was not right in his heart. And when Jesus came by that way, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, what did he say? You come down from that tree. I'm going to your house today. And he immediately made way for the Lord, didn't he? And not only did he reconciled to God. He was even willing to pay 4 times back what he had stolen. Yeah? See, there's something about that, that God sees the faith of the heart. That Zacchaeus was for real. He meant business with God. He wasn't playing some religious game with God. Well, I'll go do my little religious duty on Sunday. He said, I'm a soul that was saved. God cleansed me. Jesus died for me. That should be enough for me to live the rest of my life for Him and quit the stuff, doing the stuff that put Him on the cross. It's a false repentance when people don't turn away from their sin and they claim to receive Christ. You see, to receive Him means to receive His Word. To believe in Jesus means you believe what He said. Because he said, these words I speak unto you are spirit and life. You got to believe what Jesus said. Unless a man be born again, he will never see the kingdom. And he said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The only way to be saved is to repent of your sin and give your life fully to Jesus Christ. Not 80%, 95%, 100% to Jesus. And then he will take the full offering and he says, and I'll give you my life, which is abundant and free. And then you'll be one of those weird people that like to shout and praise God.
Yeah, praise God.
And it ain't taken either, right? We ain't here playing. I'm not here playing some game. Believe me, the life I used to live, I'm not here playing games today. I'm thankful for what God did in my life.
Yeah, me too.
I've been forgiven a lot, and I love Him a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, He loves you so much. And He's got such an awesome plan. If you just trust Him, just say, I give up, Lord. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to save myself. I'm trying to fix myself, to work it all out. I just don't have the power. Yes, you don't. You can't live for God independent of God. You must be born of His Spirit into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And we hear. And how will they hear unless someone is sent, unless a preacher speaks the Word? Romans 10. The Word of God cleanses us and keeps us clean. Psalms 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word. How do you cleanse your way? By listening to the Word of God. We cannot know the way of holiness without first hearing about it. That's why you and I have been given that responsibility, amen, of sharing the gospel with people. So they'll know the way. Hallelujah. If you are in the way, then you can tell somebody how to get in the way. I question whether someone's really in the way with God if they can't tell somebody how to get in the way with God. Are you with me? All you got to do is tell them, how did God do it for you? Give them your testimony. Wow. Ephesians 4:1, therefore I, a prisoner, Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord, said, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Holiness is commanded for God's people. God is requiring right now in Acts 17, it says, all men everywhere to repent. God is no longer winking at this. Jesus has been crucified. The price has been paid. The blood is on the altar. Amen. It's now time for men to repent of their sins and turn to God, to get on the ark, who is Jesus Christ, because the time of judgment is looming. And yet the Lord is saying, I'm coming for a glorious bride without spot or blemish. I'm coming for a church, a virgin. I'm not coming, amen, for a polluted, corrupted, adulterating church. I'm coming for a pure bride. And only those who are holy are going to see the Lord, and those who are holy are those who abide in Him who is holy, who have found that Jesus Christ is my holiness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Whoosha. Hallelujah, Jesus. A hog will remain clean as long as it stays out of the mud. So you can get cleansed, right? And turn around and go right back in the mud. I've done that, have you? God is saying, I want you clean. But not just clean, because if you clean the house and you don't fill it with the Holy Spirit, amen? Then you're just an open target for any demon to say, hey, here's an empty spot right here. So why do we worship? Why do we pray? Why do we plead the armor of God, amen, over our bodies, the blood of Jesus to cover us, right? Because we want our hearts to be kept clean, but we want our hearts to be filled with Christ. And if we're not giving Him room, if we're filled with all the junk of the world and we're compromising and full of idolatry, even as believers, you're giving room for the devil to punk you out and to mess you up. He don't like you, and the things he's offering you are a lie. They only appear to be good. But if God says it's not good for you, I would trust God's Word. God says, this is good for you. I'm good for you. I love you. I accept you because of the blood. Now walk in my holiness. Walk in my provision. I'm with you, and all that you have need of, I will supply. Come to me, pray, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find, and knock, and the door will be opened unto you. God is saying it's available free, without charge. Isaiah 55, without cost, you can come. Amen? Receive the wine of His presence, the joy of the Lord, hallelujah, and the milk of His Word, and let your soul delight, let it be satisfied. Hallelujah. That's why He said in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with the devil? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? That the Lord will dwell in us and walk among us and be our God, and we'll be His people. Amen. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, in outward and spirit inward, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The only way to be cleansed is by the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The only way to be cleansed is to abide in Him who's holy. Amen? We need to turn to Christ.